With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Max is ready for the 3-2 pitch. He sets. There goes Peterson. The delivery struck him out, swinging with a fastball at 97. And Max Scherzer's all alone in 19th place on the all-time strikeout list. He has passed Jim Bunning. Career strikeout 2,856 for Max Scherzer.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. We've got a juicy 5 at 5 coming up in just a few minutes. Ron Rivera praising Matt Ioannidis. Russell Wilson says he never actually asked for a trade. Julio Jones talking about being a Titan. Breakdown last night's NBA action and a big Nat story to cover as well. But right now, we are wrapping up our Max Scherzer conversation at 800-636-1067. So let's go on record here. GM Paulson would trade Max, as painful as that is, as awful as that is. And just talking about this kicks me in the ribs, I'm just telling you. But the crime that's committed here is that the team's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
My team should be better, and if it was, I wouldn't be trading Max Scherzer. But they're not good enough, and I don't have the luxury of not dealing them because I don't have enough good prospects. I don't have enough help coming in the system. It's just barren. So it's like, oh, well, I've got this food in the refrigerator that I'm not going to eat, but I'm not going to sell it to anybody. I'll just keep it in case I want it. It's like, if you don't have any money, you probably need to sell it. And so, I'm going to trade Max Scherzer. I'm going to hope to get a starter for the future back, a bat back for him, ideally an outfielder who can hit for some power, or a third baseman. I've been mentioning Nolan Gorman. If I could trade him to the Cardinals, I think that would be a perfect fit. Do I think they will? I'm actually leaning toward yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I just think they're in, you know, a couple of years ago when Rizzo got the deal in place that I'd mentioned on the show for Bryce Harper with the Houston Astros, and what I was told is he wasn't allowed to pull off the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just such a different time for the organization where they had a window and they had sluggers and they didn't necessarily have to bring in prospects. The system was still okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. Now their system is in kind of dire straits for help, for elite-level prospects, and the window is no longer. I mean, the arrow is trending down. They need future pieces. So I think he'll be allowed to pull off a trade for Scherzer now by the Learners, I would imagine.
Wow. So GM Danny Ruye, I would have an auctioneer starting Monday morning. I self-scout. I self-diagnose. I say, this ain't it. We don't have it. Give me the bidding. I'm not waiting for 6 weeks. I'm giving you 100 games of Max Scherzer. All the things that he's done for us, he'll do for you. That's more prospects. That's more coming back because we got the white flag going up for this year. Do I think they will? I think they will not. I don't think they'll entertain it. I think they're just going to do what they did in 2018, just sort of ride out with this, you know, aging group of broken down veterans and just sort of not add, not subtract, but just sort of go with it. And then when it doesn't work out, maybe move people after the non-waiver trade deadline, like they did with Daniel Murphy and Brandon Kinsler and all those other kind of guys, and get nothing for it. I think they're just going to ride this out because of some sort of nostalgia or otherwise.
Not trading him with their system in the shape that it's in would be a big missed opportunity. And I would understand it from their perspective, even though I disagree. But they'd have to admit, yeah, we're not trading him because of what he's done in the organization, but they'd have to admit they're missing a golden chance to bring someone back who could help them. Let's go to Bill in Vienna. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, Grant. I agree they should trade Scherzer. And now. I mean, this is a 72-73 win team. I don't think they're going to get any better.
You're saying like this week.
Yeah, I'm doing it this week.
I would do it now to get as much. And given he's in the last year of his contract, I think getting one solid position player prospect back is probably the best they're going to do. The broader point I have about the Nats, and I'll push back a little bit on this, is their farm system being barren. I mean, to me, Rizzo, he's done a great job at the major league level. We have a world championship, you know, fantastic. But apart from, you know, the Harper, Strasburg, Rendon, which were all kind of, you know, no-brainers, you know, what, and Soto, obviously, what position player or starting pitcher has come out of the system? And in terms of the talent that's been traded away, okay, Giolito. But, you know, the Dodgers, I mean, you know, Lux, Sager, Ballinger, I mean, the Rays, you know, they got 10 guys in the bullpen for a 98, you know, with movement. I mean, he's not done a good job with drafting players and in player development.
Those are the two best.
Thanks,
I'll just say that. Thank you for the call. You know your stuff, and I appreciate it. It sounds like a smart call. I mean, you could comp anybody to, like, the best in the industry and be like, he's not doing as good as them. Well, yeah, the Dodgers, who have no budget, by the way. Rizzo does. And the Dodgers have no budget on anything. International spending, amount of money they're spending on scouts to go before the draft, look at guys. They do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Rays, I'll take that comp, because they have quite a budget, actually. It's a worse budget than the Nationals.
They're the most budgeted thing there is.
But I think you're missing the boat a little bit on the prospect conversation. He said Rendon was a no-brainer. That's not true. Rendon was the sixth pick and has terrible injury history at Rice. He kind of fell into their lap, if that's his point. He was supposed to go higher in the draft. But five teams passed on him for a reason. He was considered a risk on draft night. Same thing with Giolito, who they took at 16, who was expected to go 1-1 at Harvard-Westlake before some of his arm problems. They ended up taking him, even though a lot of teams were passing on him. That was a quote-unquote a risk that they took.
Yeah, when you're at the back end of the first round every time, you do those risks.
Exactly.
You know, you make those kind of plays.
Jordan Zimmermann was a second-round pick. You're asking for players who turn into good players. So what have they done? Well, I would say that Juan Soto, internationally, brilliant. Now, maybe he's just talking about the draft. And I think, point blank, that they probably haven't done well enough in the draft. I think that that's a fair critique.
Well, to me, it's more not necessarily because, I mean, they've spun some of those guys that are draft picks for major league help and a number of things.
Right, but he was saying, like, how many of them have been great? Now, he didn't name everyone. Like, Dane Dunning's with the Rangers now.
Yeah, Jesus Luzardo's throwing well. I mean, there's Nick Pavetta's an everyday starter.
A stud. Pavetta's with Boston having a good year.
But the point I'm making is, and this is something that I beat the drum for, since Strasburg came up, they haven't really had a pitcher graduate from the minor league system that's really consistently helped them. They've had guys like Joe Ross and Eric Fetty who've thrown some innings. They're on the roster sometimes. But it's, you know, international guys like Soto, and they've had some guys come up and help. But they don't have that either, that steady pipeline of guys internally that are cheap options. They've had to go spend your $14 million on Anibal Sanchez, your $13 million on John Lester to kind of fill that void. They need a couple of those to pop that haven't in a while.
I think both can be true, though. The fact is, everyone points to the Dodgers. And the reason that the Dodgers are so amazing is it's rare and it doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
But if you win every single season, the deal you make with the devil to do that is that you thin your system. It's not going to be as deep. You're going to trade some of that organizational depth to continue to make the deal to be good at the big league level. I think that that's fair. You can't expect them to have a great system one of the top five winningest teams in the major league over the last decade or so. But the flip side of that is, if his point is just as simple as, okay, fine, that's an excuse for not having the best system. But to have almost nothing, like you have 50 draft picks a year, you know, you hit on a couple of these guys, you know, whether it's like I'm thinking of Drew Mendoza they took in the first round, or you just go through the year. Seth Romero was a first round pick who's done nothing
for them.
Carter Kieboom has been a miss to this point as a first rounder with big time power at a high school, they thought. Like, yeah, I think that's also true. The prospect line isn't supposed to be great when you win this much, but it's got to be a little bit better than it has been, clearly. And you just can't have a system as devoid of pieces as they have, where two of the, I don't know, 3 to 5 guys at the top right now were drafted in the first two rounds last year. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, buddies. Danny, you forgot to talk about our buddy Tanner Rourke, man.
That was a trade. That was a brilliant trade, by the way.
Oh, my God. Was that a disaster? Look, I think the real issue here with the Nationals, the real issue here with the Nationals is that Masson deal, and we really have to get out of with the Orioles. If we can get out of that deal, I think they'll. I think it'll alleviate for Rizzo to spend as much money as he really wants to. I'll have to look at Mike Rizzo, kind of like Brad Pitt talking to the owner of the Oakland A's in Moneyball, where he wants to spend the money. He wanted to keep Rendon. Rizzo wanted to keep all these. I'm not sure about Harper, but I know he wanted to keep Rendon. But because of other things, they couldn't go beyond what they wanted to do. Now, let's talk about Scherzer for a second. Scherzer may like the fact – he may not want to get traded, even though it may be a good – he may get traded, but he may wind up coming back here, mainly because he may like the setup after everybody knows when you come and play for the Nationals, if you get a long-term deal, you get deferred payments. And some players love it because they like to be in their 40s and 50s getting their deferred payments. But the real deal here, and Grant, you stepped on this, is the Masson deal. If we can get out of that, I'm not going to say we're going to be the Dodgers, but we could be up there where the Cubs are, start spending the money that we need to spend. And that's really that's what's really been paralyzing this team since they got here. It's amazing they won a World Series anyway.
It is. You're right. It is. Mark, the Masson deal for them is a debacle. I mean, it just is.
It's operating cash. And I know it's easy to say, Lunars have billions, but it's not as if they just have like, oh, here's my billion-dollar bill in my pocket to pay whatever I want to pay for. It's cash that comes in for operating stuff. There's value, and then there's cash, and that's where the cash is supposed to come from.
I remember having a convo with one of the higher-ranking people over there at one point, and I don't remember the specifics of how we got into it, but I was basically saying, you got to help me understand something here. I'm the owner of a team who's got nothing but money. Why might I not resign Anthony Rendon? How could I not do this? And the point is, this is still a business. Like, people think of sports teams as different, but it's the equivalent of if you owned a shop where they make bread. You're trying to make money. That's what you're trying to do, is make money. And the Nationals, if you look at average attendance year in and year out, and merchandise sold. Now, when I had this conversation, it was not long before they'd won the World Series, okay? Mm-hmm. You would think a lot of things changed during the World Series, but because of the pandemic shortly after, it kind of washed a lot of what could have been away for them. But the fact is, if you're looking at just attendance and overall interest, and it's still about making money at the very top. And so they're not just going to go out and take an L. They're not going to lose money where they don't need to, or spend money that they feel like they don't have to. It's easy to say you'd do it differently. I know I sit here in this chair right now and say I would do it differently. I'd want to stockpile championships, but a lot of times for owners, this is a business. It's like, owning your own cupcake shop or something like that.
Yeah, and there's certain places where there's a competitive advantage. New York and L.A. happen to be a couple of those, where you've got your own built-in network and an absurd fan bases and endless coffers. There's a reason it's easier for them to win than it is in Kansas City.
They play by different rules. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Hey, Kev.
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Good afternoon. Yeah, so here's my frustration with the Lerners. Okay, unlike Leonsis and Matt with the Capitals, who've literally done everything, maybe not perfectly, but everything to prop open that quote-unquote championship window, we've seen very little of that comparatively from the Lerners. And as a result, in my opinion, that championship window has already closed. It was one thing when Harper was a free agent, and instead of re-signing Bryce, we went out and got Patrick Corbin, who was, as you all said many times on the show, critical to the World Series win. And we also got a few other players in that free agency cycle that were absolutely essential to that World Series run. Good on the Lerners that year. But ever since then, not getting how they expect to continue to win at a high level with the Masson deal, which saddles them, with the fact that their business practices with deferred money, certainly a Boris client has no interest in that by and large. It's just, so all that said, if there's an opportunity to trade Max for Gorman, it's a no-brainer to do it, because you have to at some point, as Danny says in self-scouting, be true to yourself, be true to your situation, and realize it's not going to get any better than this. If we can get a position player at third base, it will be a cornerstone moving forward. We've got to get him, and we've got to extend Turner and Soto.
And then you got your starter at third. You got your starter at short. You got your starter in right. You got your foundation that you've now built out a little bit. I'm not – this to me isn't like a knock the learners thing in terms of their last couple of
off-seasons. They've had top 10 payrolls.
Yeah, they have top 10 payrolls because they pay Strasburg, and they pay Max, and they pay Corbin. And when Max comes off the book, if they decide to do nothing next offseason with all the money that's freed up, now then you can bash it a little bit. But my guess is they'll pay another pitcher, figure out another way to try to bolster their rotation. But regardless of how we got here, his point is correct. The offseason before they won the championship, they were active. They spent $140 million on a marquee pitcher and outbid the Yankees. Since then, they've gone and gotten Starlin Castro. And then the next offseason, they went and got Kyle Schwarber and Josh Bell.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, it's not the same when you compare them.
Honestly, if you look at their biggest signing of the offseason, year before they win the World Series, the best pitcher on the market, or the guy that a lot of people wanted, so to speak. Since then, infielder who might hit for a little bit of power, Starlin Castro. And then this past season, I think Schwarber or Hand probably. I guess Hand.
Hand was the big was the most expensive, right?
But in terms of major piece, it's like they traded for Bell, so that was not an off-season signing. Schwarber or Hand, it's just not the same.
No.
Weirdly, the year that they spent the money on the pitcher everybody wanted, that they won a bidding war in free agency, is the year they did pretty well. Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, let's do the 5 at 5 next. Recap last night's NBA games. Maybe Charles Barkley will make a cameo. And we've got to hear from Russell Wilson claiming that he never asked to be traded. You're listening to The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Ryan was just telling me that Doug Kammerer has updated his forecast, and Kammerer is telling people on Twitter, who's the meteorologist for News Channel 4,
that's right,
that he thinks the Nats will get their game in tonight, assuming the field is in good shape, but that the rain in the area shouldn't prevent them from playing. To which I said, oh, cool, so you and Kammerer are in the same boat now, you're both calling for a game tonight. And Ryan said he called it first, and basically like Kammerer
has confirmed it.
Is confirming what he reported. Essentially, he's saying Kammerer heard him say it and is just basing it on what Ryan said.
Because Ryan looks at the numbers.
But then Ryan told me, he's like, yeah, Kammerer's my guy. We conversate all the time. And I'm like, I'm not sure about that. And he's like, actually, that's not true.
It's not true at all.
So.
Oh, Peck, what's up, dude?
Hey, Peckster.
It's been a minute, man.
Everything okay, though, between you and Kammerer? You're upset that he stole your weather report for tonight?
No, it's fine. You know, we have some back and forth on it, so he got it this time, but I'll put it out there next time.
I thought you said you got it first this time.
Well, I did. I just never put the tweet out there first, so I'll have to make it official, unless people were listening to us.
Twitter
so
official.
You knew it, you just didn't tweet it.
No, I just didn't tweet it yet.
Tweet.
This guy's unbelievable. Time for our 5 at 5, brought to you by Wave Soda, which is awesome. It's super simple, bubbly water, splash of real juice, little caffeine. Unsweetened, no stevias or artificial sweeteners to deal with. It's got a super clean finish. 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order it right now. Site to do so is wavesoda.com. You'll get 15% off with either of our names as your promo code at checkout, Grant or Danny. You know who nobody's talking about in Ashburn? Matt Ioannidis.
Man.
That changed when Ron Rivera went to the podium and was asked about Matt Ioannidis.
A lot of growth and development. I mean, you know, we missed him last year. Getting hurt in the third game of the regular season was a blow to our front. I mean, we were good last year. I think we can be better with Matt out there on the football field helping us. And what you've seen is you've seen him working, doing the extra things, the little things that help develop your skill set. And so I'm excited about getting Matt back on the field for us.
2019, 83 hurries. 2020, 56 hurries. 2019, 45 knockdowns. 2020, 36 knockdowns. 2019, 174 pressures. 2020, 139 pressures. The difference? Numbers going down in 2020, no Matt Ioannidis. That guy, if he's healthy, is going to absolutely help tremendously with the pass rush. May not be the best run stuffer. I kind of don't care about that, to be honest with you. Let the other team try to run it, and we'll add up a score at the end. That guy up the middle, bull rushing, truck lifting people, is going to absolutely help this defense tremendously.
In 18 and 19, he averaged 8 sacks per year. And just based on the numbers, he was on his way back to that when he got hurt in the third game last season. He was already sitting at about 2 sacks, so he's going to make an impact. He's going to push the pocket. I like guys who just collapse the interior. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what he does. He is country strong, knock a tree down dude. He's going to push people around, and he's going to push interior offensive linemen into a quarterback's lap. He's their best pass rusher among their down defensive linemen. Allen, Payne, those guys are looking up at him in sack count if they all play 16 games. Number two. Russell Wilson says, I didn't want to be traded. Do we believe him after an awkward offseason where he's now back with Seattle? They stayed together, and you go out with your buddies, and they're all like, but what about all that stuff you were saying about her? And he's like, I didn't really say anything about her.
You know, in terms of the trade talks, I think anytime you play professional sports, there's always a possibility of something happening, right? And I think that's just the reality. I think that there's a lot of teams out there that people were saying that I was going to or would go to. I requested a trade. I did not request a trade. I've always wanted to play here, you know, and the reality is, I think calls were getting thrown around and this and that, and I think that's just a reality. But I think at the end of the day, the real reality is that I'm here, and I'm here to win, and I'm here to win it all.
That's great by you, Russell Wilson. Good job trying to dispel that, and that's, you know, kind of the right thing to do PR-wise. I don't believe you. I don't know how to say it better than that. I don't believe you at all. I think a representative of yours, I think someone from your camp, whatever you're supposed to call that, someone that's in your employ or that works on your behalf, absolutely put out there that you were disgruntled and that you were trying to put some pressure on the Seattle organization to do something. I don't think that's crazy. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I also didn't have a big problem with it, per se. Like, he wanted to upgrade the offensive line. Felt like he'd been quiet in getting him to do so the last couple years, and it didn't work. So now you throw out there that you're mad and you want to be traded. You don't have to say anything. You just get to sit there and have someone do the dirty work for you. But to come back now and pretend like you weren't that upset or you never wanted to be traded, I'm with you. I don't have to believe you. Russell Wilson threw for 4,200 yards and 40 touchdowns last year. Kind of a weird stat. You know he's never thrown for 4,300, which anymore in today's NFL just seems like, you know, the old 3,700. Like, last year was his career high in passing yards, I think, right around 4,215. 40 touchdowns is a show.
It's pretty great.
I mean, touchdowns a lot of times are determined by receivers, whatever. He's led the NFL previously with 34. But just crazy to think about. He's always going to be up over 100 in quarterback rating. In 4 of his last 6 years, he's been well over 100. His career quarterback rating is 101.7. A lot of touchdowns, very few interceptions. What I love about Russell Wilson is just a playmaker. And when it's winning time, fourth quarter, that dude's going to run around, scramble, extend plays, flick the ball up into the evening sky, and it's going to drop down into the right hands. He's always going to make the big play at the right time. He's done that since he was in college. But you wanted to be traded a little bit.
A little bit.
Or at least you wanted to force their hand to try to do what you wanted, which was to add some offensive line help. But my only annoyance, and I said this at the time, you can't make all the money and then get mad when they don't spend a lot more money. You've got great wide receivers. You can't have everything great around you and make $40 million a year. It doesn't really work that way. Number three in our 5 and 5, let's stay on the gridiron. Julio Jones is a Titan. I don't think I even knew what Julio Jones sounded like. When you think Julio Jones, I don't know if I've ever heard his voice, but now I have, talking about being in Tennessee.
First off, man, I just want to thank Atlanta. You know, it was home for me for the last decade, the fan base, the Atlanta Falcons, you know, the whole organization. Without them, you know, they gave me the opportunity to showcase, you know, my ability and what I can do. And, you know, I obviously love the game. But, you know, being here at the Titans, I love it. I'm very excited to be a part of this organization. Just the team camaraderie, just the whole atmosphere and everything here just feels like when I was in college, you know, at the University of Alabama. It's amazing here.
I learned what he sounded like when Shannon Sharp called him on the air and ambushed him. What's up, Skip, with your favorite uncle?
I forgot about that one.
So we should never forget that that happened. But in terms of Tennessee, they got a really good operation. I think Mike Vrabel is a terrific head coach. And I don't say that, like, oh, I think he's terrific. I think that dude is a terrific head football coach. That is the exact kind of guy that I would want in my employee. He's got all the different things, the emotional intelligence. He's smart, knows the damn rule book, understands sort of some of the mathematics, analytics, when to use timeouts, when to commit a penalty on purpose, all that other kind of crap, and he's a leader of men. I'm a Mike Vrabel fan. He joins a ready-made cast opposite A.J. Brown. They added Josh Reynolds from the Rams as kind of a nice little gimmicky slot receiver.
Player.
Yeah, didn't get a ton of targets in L.A., but whenever he did, performed, because they got 19 of those guys. They got 7 different slot receivers running around in Sean McVay's scheme. I think they're going to miss Jonnu Smith, personally, just in terms of having an outlet, but Anthony Firkser stepped up for them a little bit recently, but it's really about those outside guys and their running back, Derrick Henry.
So I still have to walk back when I said at the beginning of the offseason, I think the Titans are about to take a step back. Now, that's why we don't make our divisional predictions at the start of the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You get a chance to still improve your roster. But, yeah, I don't know that they're going to take a big jump backwards like I was anticipating based on bringing in Julio and the development of A.J. Brown. I'm with you, though. Losing the tight end, Jonnu Smith, is going to sting. He was awesome in the red zone. Number four in our 5 at 5, let's talk some NBA playoffs. Last night, the Brooklyn Nets couldn't score. They scored 83 in a loss. The Bucks had their lowest point total of the year, and they still won 86-83. And then in the late-night game, the Utah Jazz took a 2-0 series lead on Kawhi and the Clippers.
Durant looking to get free. Almost throws it away. Picked up by Irving. Struggles with it. Back out to Brown. 8 seconds remaining. Brown to the rim. Layup. No good. Rebound Tucker. Off to Antetokounmpo. And a foul. Bogdanovich got it. And Ty Lue calls timeout.
So 6 straight games. 6, the longest in history. Utah has made at least 17 threes. And boy, some of them feel weightier than others. Bogdanovich, that's a big one.
Mark Jones on the call of the second clip. And then we got a lot of Doris Burke there. Doris Burke, who's one of the best analysts in the game. I love watching Doris Burke. She was the voice you heard on the back end. And then the first call was Mike Breen. So a lot of ESPN, NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, 2 games in the books. What stood out to you, Charles?
Donovan, that was Dan Rudier first. I had another answer first. Donovan Mitchell last night. Donovan Mitchell had 37 points. That's more than Royce O'Neal had. That's really more than Rudy Gobert had. Then Ty Russell, they didn't have that many. The Clippers in the game because Kawhi, Paul George decided to step up finally in this series.
Hang on,
but
one
this
second,
was about
Charles.
Donovan Mitchell.
Chris Broussard had an observation about the game last night.
Well, according to information that I have received from various sources, it does seem like the Clippers are, in fact, down 2 games to none after having dropped 2 in Utah. It looks like they will play a game 3 back in Los Angeles. However, the Lakers will not be playing because they have been eliminated.
I was flipping through the TV channels today, and it came to my attention that Stephen A. Smith is saying, and this is actually not a bit, he doesn't want to hear anything about John Stockton or Karl Malone ever again because Donovan Mitchell's the best Jazz player ever.
I'll put my fingers in my ears if someone starts to tell me anything other than Donovan Mitchell, a guy that has been to 0 finals, okay, is the same as an MVP. In Karl Malone, okay, and the all-time assist champion in John Stockton. That's real. If John Stockton played today, yes, he would average 20-20 like Hugh Davis and Barbara Walters. If Karl Malone played today, he would average 34 a game, hit threes, and have 17 boards and dunk on everybody. However, Donovan Mitchell hit a step back. Let's be real here.
Imagine living in a world where no one else can be brought up because you're no longer not. By the way, it's
I don't
not
want to hear.
I don't want to hear about them. This guy's better.
I'd like you to pay attention.
Just an
please.
Opinion, anyway.
Please
he may
pay
or may
attention.
Not be better, but you could probably still.
By
just...
way, Mitchell's great. I'm a Mitchell
great.
Fan.
I love Mitchell.
Let's settle down.
That's my
Let's
dude.
Let's settle down.
Well, let's say you don't want to settle down. Let's say he is the best Jazz player ever. You're allowed to talk about a lot of guys at once. Like you could still be good and not be the best. The whole thing is weird. Number five, Dave Jagler thinks Juan Soto has made the adjustments. Had a great road trip coming back to Nats Park tonight. Thinks he's ready for the rest of his season.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about him. I know the last time I was on with you, we were talking about how he's hitting everything on the ground. Mm-hmm. I didn't like his body language. He was showing frustration really for the first time in his career, and I think it was kind of carrying over to him maybe chasing some pitches. I like what I saw on that road trip. I think he's on par here to go off a little bit, and I think he had a great road trip. I mean, he was letting the ball travel, hitting the ball hard to left center. When his home runs go out to left center field, he's locked in. So I hope he can carry it over to this homestand because, to me, he's turned the corner. He's got whatever was ailing him with his swing fixed. His timing is on, and I think he's ready to take off.
Number one, great Chris Broussard pull. I haven't thought about that impression in months, so thank you for doing that moments ago. But number two, sort of the at-bats and kind of the the numbers start to back that up a little bit when it comes to Juan Soto, to Dave Jagler's point. He was hitting the ball hard still, but it was a lot of on the ground, a lot of rollover ground balls, a lot of two hoppers into a shift where a guy's lined up in short right field like it's beer league softball down at the Ryan Zimmerman field a couple blocks over from us. But he's starting to elevate the ball, driving it to center and left center. Basically, guys try to get him out away and then sort of bust him in off the plate. And if he's hammering you away, then you got to come into a danger zone where he can start to pull the ball and hit those 500-foot moonshots into the triple upper tank at Nationals Park.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. I brought this up earlier in the show. 10-10 and 10 club for Juan Soto on a 9-game road trip. Sixth player to ever drive in 10 runs, score 10 runs, and walk 10 times, 9 games on the road. He's locked in, and I think he's ready for a big homestand. Next, let's get back into the quarterback situation in D.C. Ron Rivera had a chance to slam the door and say Ryan Fitzpatrick's our starter, and he didn't do it after a mini camp where everyone there said it seemed like Taylor Heinicke was the best quarterback on the field. Does that actually mean anything, or is this just Fitz's job and all the practices between now and week one are largely irrelevant because he's the unchecked, unquestioned starter? Next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, first of all, how quickly things were picked up, how well Fitz jibes with our receiving core, our tight ends, our running backs, the rapport he has with the offensive line. That was good to see. When Taylor got back in there, it was good to see Taylor. The one thing that you can say about Taylor is he's an extremely accurate passer, delivers a really good ball to the receivers. His rapport with those guys is also very good. So it's going to be a good competition. It really is. I look forward to it. I think it's going to push our football team and make our football team better. I just feel that, going into this knowing we have a proven guy there that has the ability to lead us. But again, we have a guy in Taylor that shows us that he can do it. They're going to compete. They're going to push, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a good competition, the head coach said. Is Taylor Heinicke actually being given a chance to compete for the job? Because if he is,
no.
None of us ever mentioned that. I would say we probably didn't do our jobs very well. So Michael Phillips wrote Richmond Times-Dispatch coming out of minicamp that Heinicke outplayed Fitzpatrick. We're going to get him on the show at 6:15 for our final stretch run tonight. I'm going to read real quick from the Times-Dispatch here. Most importantly, though, it is time to talk quarterbacks. Taylor Heinicke outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick throughout the week, and once again, Rivera promised competition at training camp. Now, you just heard him, quote-unquote, promise competition. That could just easily be dismissed as coach speak. Like, I said this earlier, but a competition is one thing. Guys competing is another. Terry McLaurin's competing against Steven Sims. One is the number one wideout who's a top 15 guy in the league. The other probably won't be on the roster. They're competing in the linebacker room where Jamin Davis and a guy that we haven't heard of who's an undrafted free agent are out there competing. One's going to make 129 tackles. The other is going to be on somebody else's practice squad. But they're competing.
Mm-hmm.
I go on reading here. Fitzpatrick was clear about his intent for the sessions. He noted early on that he's going to throw the ball where he thinks it should be thrown, and then he'll huddle with the receivers after and sort out why things didn't work. I think that's an important paragraph from Phillips, because this to me reads like, and this gives credence to my point, everyone should stop caring who looks best right now in a June practice. Fitzpatrick is a pitcher at spring training trying to work on a pitch. Scherzer goes out there for a start and says, today is my changeup day. I don't have a feel for my changeup right now after the offseason, so I'm going to throw my changeup. And he gets knocked around for six hits and five runs and inning in the third, and he's out of the game. Are we going to pretend like Scherzer's in trouble? Like, oh no, Max Scherzer's not Max anymore? Or are we going to, no, he's going to say after the start, yeah, I'm working on my changeup, spring training, this is when you do that. This is baseball spring training, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even camp. It's mini camp. It's June.
Miniature camp.
Fitzpatrick quite literally told reporters, yeah, guys, I'm just trying to get on the same page as my receivers, so I'm going to throw the ball where in games I'm going to be throwing it, and then I'll get with them after. And we saw him do this. I saw it pointed out that he grabbed Terry McLaurin and he was showing him where he wants him to break on a certain play. And yet, we know that he's doing that, and we're saying Heinicke looks better. How can both of those things be true or matter?
There's a security there that comes with being Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? I mean, he was recruited in effect. Multiple teams were in on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, exactly how many, exactly how serious those offers were, we don't know specifically. But this wasn't the only team that gave him or his agent a call. So there were promises made. There were words uttered. There is an idea here. The idea is we're not just going to turn it over to a couple of unproven guys that have, weeks of healthiness in their very, very short careers, both on the north side of 25. There's not much there behind Ryan Fitzpatrick other than a couple decent quarters and some really fun moments from Heinicke and, a sample of a couple of mediocre games for Allen. This is Ryan Fitzpatrick's job. This coaching staff, this regime, the two Martys and Ron Rivera, went and got Ryan Fitzpatrick for a purpose, to be the veteran general that leads this defense and a couple new toys on offense right back to the same spot, in theory, atop a very bad division. That's why they did that. This isn't a let's try to be great. This is let's try to be a little bit better than we were last year. Let's keep improving some incrementally. It's not something I would do, but it's exactly what they did. It's Fitzpatrick's job. I'm not wed to him. I don't give a damn if he plays or doesn't. But they do, and they're going Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I have no path to being a starter in week one for Heinicke based on the way they're going to be viewing this, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'd give him a path. I'd be fine with it. I just don't think they will. What do you guys think, though, about the possibility of Heinicke competing with Fitzpatrick? Will he be given a chance to steal the job in camp, and should he be? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, he's going to come in as the number one, but there will be a competition. I mean, we want to play the best football player, obviously. It gives us the best opportunity to win. We feel very comfortable, very confident in the guys that we have. Ryan gives us a completely different type of football player, and we're excited about who we can become as a football team.
So that was Ron Rivera after they went and got Ryan Fitzpatrick, saying there will be a competition. We're just dismissing these comments as coach speak. He's never said there's not a competition,
has
he?
That's true.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan.
Never just said Ryan's the guy. Our guy.
Yeah, he said he's going to enter as the number one, but if there's such a thing as naming a starter, he hasn't done that. I guess not everyone names a starter. Like, in Cleveland, they're not naming a starter. Baker Mayfield's the starter. In Minnesota, they don't have to do that. Kirk Cousins is the starter. In L.A., they don't do that. Justin Herbert's the guy.
In Green Bay? Oh, maybe not.
Here in Washington, they haven't named a starter, but I guess they don't necessarily need to name a starter either. I'm going to go the opposite side and just play devil's advocate for Heinicke for a second, because it seems like we're in a similar spot on this, where we both think Fitzpatrick should probably have to win the job, but neither of us think that that's the case. And I would say more excessively and extensively than you do, think there's no way Heinicke will be given a chance to start in week one.
I just think it's highly unlikely.
And to me, he could do everything perfectly, and Fitzpatrick could do everything at a very average level, and he'll still be the guy in the first game of the season. Doesn't mean Heinicke wouldn't get a chance to play if he faltered in the first couple games, but I don't think there's any path to him being on the field in game one. But for Team Heinicke, so to speak, for all the fans that call in and support him and endorse him and really like him, he's played twice in Washington. He has played really well in both of those games. He played at the end of that Carolina game, and he had 3 drives, and he scored on 2 of them. And then he played in the playoffs against the Bucs, and he was as good against Tampa Bay's defense as any quarterback in the postseason. And they went up against some really good ones, including Rodgers. Now, he didn't have to deal with Devin White. They had a couple of injuries where Vita Vea wasn't on the field either. But the point is, he ran all over, he made plays, he battled through injury, he was awesome that night. So I've been on the field for you twice. I've been really good for you twice. I re-signed, and let's just assume that what Michael Phillips, who's coming on in a few minutes, said is correct. I've outperformed the guy that you brought in to unseed me. I deserve a shot at this. What do you say to me if I'm in your office making that case?
You got a shot. I'll be honest with you, it's a longer shot than maybe you'd like.
Okay, let me rephrase. I deserve a 50-50 competition. Whenever you've been asked me to play, I've played brilliantly. I've done nothing but checked every single box. Why is this guy, who hasn't been here and gets benched everywhere he plays, definitively ahead of me on the depth chart?
So my real answer is, you know what, dude, you're right. Whoever's the best is going to play for me.
You're playing Ron Rivera.
But I'm Ron Rivera.
We're workshopping this.
I'm Ron Rivera. Track record. I understand what you're talking about. Your track record is this. You played one time in Carolina 3 years ago. You turned the ball over three times, then we're taking classes at ODU when we pulled you out of there because you happen to know the offense better than you knew your sociology exam that you're in the middle of doing online. So I'm glad you played well for us. That's why you're back here. You earn yourself a spot in this room by your performance, and you may get a chance yet. You got to be patient. We've got a guy, a veteran, that has been through everything. You have not been through everything. You are 28 years old and have played, I think, four times in NFL football games. We got a guy that plays four times a million. He's got more games. He's seen more things than you'll have ever seen in your whole damn life. He's here to be the steady hand. He's here to lead us. We are not going to let the bottom fall out. We got a great defense. I want a veteran in there at least to start. That's my response to you.
Yeah, I think if they wanted Taylor Heinicke to start, they wouldn't have signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't think you could have gone into the season with Heinicke as the projected number one with Kyle Allen anyway. Not if you're trying to win the division, you're trying to make the playoffs. But you didn't necessarily have to spend $10 to $12 million at the quarterback position either. If it works out that either Fitzpatrick isn't as good as you anticipated or struggles, which is not what we're hearing. What we're hearing is that Heinicke's actually been pretty good and gained weight and seems to have had a really strong offseason. And if that's the case, then he shouldn't be blocked necessarily, but I just think it's going to take time into the regular season before we see him.
You just said the thing I think is the most important part of this. They wouldn't have signed Ryan Fitzpatrick if they wanted one of these two guys to do it. If they wanted Kyle Allen and Taylor Heinicke to do it, they would have signed.
Don't block him.
Yeah, they would have just brought up Steven Montez from the practice squad, who Ron Rivera, by the way, mentioned in the same breath as those other guys.
Here's what they would have done, honestly. I don't think it would have been Montez. They would have drafted a guy in the mid to late rounds.
Fine.
Jamie Newman.
Fair enough.
Pick your Jag from whatever school that went in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh
Davis
round.
Love Mills the fifth or whatever. I mean, that's too high, but you see my point.
He got two birdies in a PGA tournament, and then he went out and is going to play for the Raiders.
But you have the unproven, picked over, middle of the pack Jag starter with a decent little tiny sample for you. If you want that, you can get that whenever you want. You can always get that. I remember I had a basketball coach forever ago. I took a terrible shot, and he called timeout and said, I can always get that shot. Anytime I want, I can get that shot. I don't want that shot. I want better than that. And that's how I feel about this with quarterback. I can always find this. There's a million guys that had pretty good college careers that are just trickling around the Brody Croyal tier of quarterback that in a tiny sample has done something that's okay in a preseason game or whatever. Colt McCoy was a hero because of what he did in the second half against Dallas 5 years ago. Just and still is to some people. I can always find the guy that in a small sample who's doesn't have the right size, speed, strength, arm, acumen, tenacity, intellect, the whole thing that makes a quarterback these, you know, strapping, square-jawed superstars, well, you're not cut from the same cloth.
Okay, but what if they miscalculated a little bit? And here's the best analogy I'll come up with. You got a car that's supposed to get you to and from work. You decide that car is not good enough to do it. You're going to go buy a car. You didn't buy a nice new car. You know, you didn't go get Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You bought a used car.
Uh-huh.
Not a very good used car, but a used car. A lot of people could talk themselves into it being okay. You drive it a few times, and now you get back in the other car, and you go, I actually think I like this car more than the used car. The one that originally you said, I need to go buy a car because this car is not going to cut it. It's every bit as good as the used car. And again, this is a hypothetical that all the reporters are right, and mm-hmm. Continues to outplay Fitzpatrick, which I already think is kind of silly because I think minicamp is irrelevant in terms of who outplays who. But let's just say he has a better training camp. He has a better preseason. The car you said wasn't good enough is actually better than you thought it was. That's Heinicke. The used car you went and bought to get you from A to B isn't as good maybe or is about the same. Just because you bought the car, do you have to keep riding in it or do you go back to the car you prefer? In other words, we're saying they would not have signed Fitzpatrick if they thought Heinicke or Allen could do it. And that's probably true. But if Heinicke, there's such a thing as developing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a thing as What if he comes out of that playoff game and has the best offseason of his career? We already know he's the biggest, strongest he's been physically. That's noticeable. That's visible. Let's just say he had a hell of an offseason and he's ready to play good football. I don't think you can just dismiss him outright because you didn't think at the beginning of the offseason he could do it.
So let me try to offer a counterweighted example because it's a good point you just made. So Bruce Allen didn't really care for Kirk Cousins at the very end, right? Remember he called that fiery quote-unquote press conference where he was like, quarterback's greedy and we don't really like him. But anyway, we're looking forward to the season. And the whole thing was
Which
a mess.
Which press conference?
Well, the one that was in his office where he called in like two of his favorite media guys. And after he went to Minnesota to, or wherever Kirk was vacationing.
Oh, the one
Michigan.
Where he have like a, was there an overhead projector involved?
May have been.
No. Okay.
You know, it was just
I'm
in his office.
Of Al Davis's son, Mark Davis. Lane Kiffin. Yes, I think it was even Al Davis and Lane Kiffin. But no, you're talking about.
This is Bruce.
Bruce has like, he reads these things. It was like Carol Maloney and J.P. Finley and Bruce Allen.
Yeah.
So, in Bruce's office, and he's like reading notes.
So Bruce was like, I'll go to Michigan and I'll get this done. And Kirk and his agent were like, no, you guys got us into this ridiculous position. And now we have all the leverage. So no, here's a pebble, follow it around, write me a report. And he came back and gave this like fiery thing where he called Kirk greedy. And it was so dysfunctional and stupid. And a couple of people that didn't like Kirk were like, yeah, get him, Bruce. I'm good. Everything worked out great. So what did Bruce Allen do? He went and got Alex Smith. Part of the Alex Smith thing was they wanted that. Not just, a check down Charlie. Not just make sure that no wide receivers have catches beyond 3 or 4 yards. But they wanted the leadership. They wanted that guy. Trying to implement some kind of cultural thing. Because to them, he was the anti-Kirk Cousins. What did Ron Rivera do this offseason? What have they done? They got rid of a bunch of guys that weren't their guys that were here. Right? He said no to Ryan Kerrigan, no to Morgan Moses, no to Nick Sundberg. Moved on from some of these dudes. That's a handpicked guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a Ron Rivera handpicked guy to implement this.
But all three of the quarterbacks are.
Well, yeah, but those others are out of necessity. They could have done it in the middle. They had to do it kind of in the middle of last year for Heinicke. And Allen was available the year before.
But they chose to re-sign him.
For nothing.
Not to mention, Heinicke is the most handpicked guy ever for Scott Turner. He's in Minnesota. He's the only guy that went and saw him at Old Dominion. Brings him to Minnesota, well, then brings him to Carolina.
That's what we have an emergency need in December. Can we grab a guy that's taking college
classes? But I'm just saying, like, he's beloved by the staff.
But the point I'm making is, Ron Rivera's trying to do this, whatever this cultural thing is. I think it's a bunch of hogwash, honestly. I think it's double talk, and I'm kind of sick of everybody touting it. But I think that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick represents, that he wants that guy to do it. Everyone loves Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that's the ambassador for Ron Rivera.
Here is what I will agree to. I'm not buying everything you just sold there at all. Here's where I'll agree, though, from a messaging standpoint. Fitzpatrick fits what they're trying to do right now, which is kind of win publicly in the media. You buying what I'm saying here? Ron Rivera is Mr. kind of media friendly. Like, he is beloved in the national media.
Yeah.
They get positive press clippings now, which is good. I want this. This is what you want.
Yeah, I'd rather have this than investigations by Beth Wilkinson.
Absolutely. But Jason Wright, team president, Julie Donaldson and her role, like over the last year, I would say it's been way more positive and they get a lot of credit for their hirings. And it's a lot more, I would say, they have celebrity employees now, for better phrasing, I suppose. And it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing because they're people that seem to be qualified and do a good job. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a celebrity. To me, that works more along with what they're doing at quarterback than Taylor Heinicke, not a celebrity. Kyle Allen, not a celebrity. Like that, they're a team with notoriety right now. Let's go to Rod in D.C. Hey, Rod, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I agree with that celebrity take. That's a good one. But I have to say, that Ryan Kerrigan interview, the exit interview, was amazing. It definitely softened the blow.
Thank you, buddy.
Congratulations, Danny, on your newfound. I know you're a comedian, but everybody knows now. Good job.
Thanks, buddy.
But so if, hypothetically speaking, if Taylor Heinicke wins the number one spot, right, we have a formidable backup, right? Starting quarterbacks get hurt every year. So if that happens and Taylor Heinicke is doing his thing, we can then shop Ryan Fitzpatrick and get something for him. Future. We can, give us this. We'll give you Ryan Fitzpatrick. You take the rest of the contract. woo, woo, woo. We can flip the entire situation. Or if that doesn't work, Ryan Fitzpatrick's the starter. I believe in saying that Taylor Heinicke is a good backup, decent backup, I'll say. Right? He showed what the eye test. He passed my eye test. I like what I saw from him. Also, Kyle Allen. I mean, we're in a good spot. We haven't been really in a good space as far as like QBs are concerned, first string and second string in a while. So this is a good problem to have right now.
It's not a bad one. Last year they had Dwayne Haskins who couldn't play and Alex Smith who couldn't play. Appreciate the call. You seem like a very nice guy, by the way. Very complimentary of the show.
I would take that.
Very nice to you. It's always very sweet when people say nice things. So you get an A in my book. You can't trade Ryan Fitzpatrick and nobody would give you anything for him. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. BetQL, beat smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Welcome onto the show, the man who kicked over this hornet's nest.
Crowbar to hornet's nest, Michael Phillips.
Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Michael, how are you, buddy?
I'd prefer we not use crowbar and Taylor Heinicke in the same sentence. I'm worried he just got injured thinking about it.
That's a great line. That's a good thing, hopefully people get it. So here's what I said earlier. I want to say it to you because I said it on the air. Who cares if Taylor Heinicke outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick at minicamp? Like, that is so irrelevant and doesn't matter at all. Go ahead, Michael Phillips.
It's almost preferable that Ryan Fitzpatrick feels the creative freedom to take chances and be able to develop that rapport with his receivers and doesn't feel like he needs to be able to put on a show in an attempt to claim a starting job that clearly is his. I think the messaging here is the interesting thing. So last year, there should have been a competition. Instead, the messaging was it's Dwayne's job. And now this year, there probably shouldn't be a competition, but the messaging is there's competition, but there's not actually a competition. I am fine with, I'm on record here. I would go Taylor Heinicke, but I am totally fine with throwing the faith and confidence behind Ryan Fitzpatrick and allowing him to do what he needs to do as a result of that. As long as he delivers when it's time to deliver.
So you don't think then that there is any kind of a competition or path for Heinicke to outplaying him before the start of the season and being the guy in week one?
I believe that barring the improbable, which would probably be injury to Fitzpatrick, I don't think there's any way Heinicke can overtake him. I think Fitzpatrick has been given the keys to the kingdom here. He got all the first team reps at minicamp. Like, sometimes we say that as an exaggeration, and he got 78% of the reps. He got 100% of the first team reps during minicamp. Taylor Heinicke got 0%. That is not how you stage a competition. Now, I stand by my statement. Taylor Heinicke did better over the course of the week than Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick was erratic with his passes. I mean, we all saw it, but I think there's some mitigating circumstances here, and I'm certainly not ready to slam the panic button based on what I saw for 3 days.
Michael, what would have to happen at non-injury division, of course, because we touched on that. What would have to happen for Ryan Fitzpatrick not to be the starter week one?
I mean, because here's the problem. You assume Fitzpatrick will get all the snaps with the ones during preseason games, because normally you would say Taylor Heinicke, if he is incredible in the preseason games, maybe could force them to take a look. But I don't believe at this juncture he's going to get that opportunity to do that. I really don't. Now, it's a 17-game season. This is a fickle crowd. They got some tough games on the schedule. I'm not prepared to commit right now that Ryan Fitzpatrick starts 17 games this year, even if he's healthy for 17 games. That's, I think Ron's the kind of guy who doesn't mind shaking things up, as we saw last year. But week one, under center behind the Chargers, and, you don't plan for that specific game, but to the point of needing to win that specific game, home opener against the Chargers, fans are back for the first time in 2 years. I think it's fair to suggest you want to go with the veteran option who maybe marginally increases your chances of winning that day, because it's the NFL. It's a results-oriented business.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch with us here. So, Michael, this is one thing I posited. We're trying to figure out scenarios earlier for, if and when it's Taylor Heinicke. And I'm with you, by the way, off the record. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick would basically have to commit a crime in public with nothing but cell phone cameras around him. And even then, he still might start, until he proves he can't do it. But in order for Heinicke to do it, here's the only angle I can come up with. I think of all this rhetoric and all the stuff about culture and accountability that Ron Rivera is trying to imprint. If it's so obvious, would he risk losing credibility there if Heinicke's the better football player, or guys just love Ryan Fitzpatrick too much?
I think it would have to be accompanied by some sort of souring of Ryan Fitzpatrick off the field, because you're right. Guys have really taken to him. You watch during minicamp. He works the room. He was joking with Matt Ioannidis the other day. I didn't think Matt Ioannidis had a laugh in him. He just got this sour face every time you see him. He's over there joking with Fitzpatrick. I think the room would have to revolt. And you know, you've sensed this before. Grant, you've been in these locker rooms before. You've sensed it where the coach is playing the quarterback who is not the best option to win. Guys know that. Guys feel that. It would have to be the room turning on Ron and Ron understanding that he had to make the move. And there's a little bit of that Dwayne last year. Obviously, you go back to the Robert Kirk situation that happened there. You know, look, I think Taylor Heinicke is better, you know, has the higher upside. I also think he's got the extremely higher downside of will probably get injured within four games. I'm willing to roll the dice on that. I understand why Ron Rivera is not willing to roll the dice on that. But Fitzpatrick has the support of the locker room. He has the track record of being an NFL quarterback. I just don't see it.
Michael Phillips on Grant and Danny. So you think Taylor Heinicke's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I think when Taylor Heinicke's playing his best football, his best football is better than Ryan Fitzpatrick's best football. I think if you could promise me right now 17 games of healthy Taylor Heinicke, that he doesn't get injured this year, I'm all in. I'm driving the bus. I'm honking the horn. We're rolling down the road. I'm rolling with Taylor Heinicke. I understand the question mark. It's a massive question mark. Dude has two NFL starts and two NFL injuries. We can't have this discussion without acknowledging that. And I think Rivera sees that too and doesn't want to commit, you know, a bunch of preseason snaps to a guy that it may not pay off down the line. But I really do believe Taylor Heinicke's very good at football.
So here's, I guess, what I don't understand about it. And Michael Phillips, my guy, RTD, I've bunked with this man on the road. I've ridden around city to city with him in cars. Michael, you saw his terrible games in Carolina and in Houston. Are you just basing this on the five quarters here? Like, were you screaming that Taylor Heinicke was the man when he was at Old Dominion last year? What is this based on?
I mean, I saw him at Old Dominion a lot. I am skeptical of any results that come against FCS division players.
I don't mean college football. I'm saying when he was at Old Dominion last year in the middle of the football season taking classes because he was literally not in the league and there were 67 quarterbacks who were and none of them were Taylor Heinicke. Were you walking around going, well, damn, how's no one giving Heinicke a shot? This guy's the man.
Why would you sign a quarterback who's going to get injured on you? That's the one trait in a quarterback that would be an absolute disqualifier unless he's just a complete absolute stud. Like, he has the one disqualifier that would make any team not want to sign him. I think the instincts are good. I mean, what's funny is everybody talks about Fitzpatrick as being a high interception, high touchdown guy. I think Heinicke's that too. I think he takes a lot of chances. But, man, he can put the ball on a rope. He puts it in the right spots.
Michael Phillips, Search and Time Dispatch with us. One more here. Where does Kyle Allen fit in all this? I don't think very much of him, but some people are a little bit more excited. A guy that's been benched and transferred three different times, got benched everywhere he was before coming to Washington, but, you know, knows the system, I suppose. Where does he fit into this mix?
Yeah, I think if Kyle Allen's starting, something went wrong along the way. To me, Kyle Allen is the break glass, an emergency guy. I guess Colt McCoy would be your most recent comparable there. Although I don't know. I don't think that's fair to Colt McCoy because I think Colt's ceiling was probably a little bit higher. I'm not huge on Kyle Allen, but it's nice to have a guy in the building who knows the system, who can jump in, who can steer the ship if he needs to. I don't get the sense he's being seriously considered as a starter, though. Of course, when you say the competition rhetoric, you have to include everybody. I'll go back to the way the snaps were distributed over the past week. Fitzpatrick had 100% of the first team snaps. Heinicke had, I'm going to guess, 95% of the second team snaps. I didn't get the sense there was a serious vetting there. Now, he's coming off the ankle injury. That may have played a role, but I didn't get the sense he was being seriously vetted for anything other than guy off the bench role.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. This has been outstanding. Michael, we will do this again before training camp. You can rest assured. Thank you, buddy.
I look forward to it. You guys got to come on the road this year. We'll do it upright in one of these cities.
I'm steamed up. Let's go back to that spot we went to in Green Bay where we cooked our own steak at a restaurant.
Cook your own steak. That's perfect. I love it.
That's my go-to. Michael Phillips, the man, Richmond Times-Dispatch. We got to congratulate someone, Danny, who listens to our show and won the cash flash. Josh Herbstritt. He won $1,000 on the cash flash Thursday while listening to the station. I think it might have even been B. Mitch and Finley. You could win, too. Your next chance to enter the National Cash Flash Contest is tomorrow morning at 7 AM. Whether you're listening over the air or via the Odyssey app, make sure you're listening for the Cash Flash. It is time to figure out what we learned today on G&D. Never put Twinkies on your pizza. What did we learn? Driven by your local Honda dealer. Race in for a great deal on the Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Take advantage of the savings to your local Honda dealer today.
It's not go-to resource. Handsome man, professional-grade handsome Doug Cameron with great eyes and incredible hair on NBC4 that's your go-to weather guy. It's Ryan Clary. Ryan had it first. Doug allegedly copied off of what Ryan was thinking when he read his numbers about his weather report.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
No, Coach, I learned that today.
We've done the show together for too many years. I was going to say, we learned that Doug Cameron gets his weather reports from copying off Ryan Clary. But because you said that, I'll say, sounds like possible retirement for Robert Griffin. I don't want to go hard with that, but here's what I do know.
Whoa.
There is a report that he's interviewed with and auditioned for multiple networks as an analyst for this coming fall. So there's a report out there he could be on Fox or ESPN. Wow. But remember, a lot of people were very angry and screamed a lot that when he left here, he was going to be the best. He went to Cleveland and then Baltimore, and he could already, 9 years later, which is crazy, be out of the league.
30 for 30 is going to be great.
It's going to be unbelievable.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you very much, Coach. For Darris and Ryan, Grant and Danny saying so long. Have an awesome weekend. Daryl Green is on the show next Tuesday, which is cool. Enjoy the night. Nats baseball is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.